What's up, y'all? I'm Amanda Seals, and listen, I get it. We're in some serious times, so I think some of y'all forgot I'm a comic.
She had them jokes.
I mean, you forgot I had a whole HBO comedy special. You forgot I showed love to how black women give compliments.
Okay, polka dots.
And threw shade to how white women move in corporate America.
Stop CCing all these unnecessary people on these goddamn
I get it. We've been cooped up for a long time. That's why the Amanda Seals Black Outside Again Comedy Tour is coming to a city near you. Go to AmandaSeals.com today and get your tickets so we can laugh and learn our way through this madness together.
How black am I gonna have to get?
Hey, stupid nerds. Download the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. You can find out what happened to Frankenstein and the Wolfman and all that fictional stuff that never happened. And don't pay attention to World War II or the American flag or important things.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
What's going on, dude?
Oh, man. As Rob Thomas of Matchbox 20 would tell Santana, It's a hot one. 96 I don't remember. Degrees. You don't remember?
I remember song? They had a song called Smooth or something, yeah. But I don't. It,
that's
was
how
it there
starts.
A lyric in there
well,
called
Well, it's
hot
a
one?
Hot one.
Oh, right, right, right.
I felt stalked by that song when it was out. Like, it was inescapable. Yeah. It's felt like the song I Always Feel Like Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell. Mm-hmm. That song was written about Smooth by Matchbox 20 and Santana.
Huge hit. Multiple radio formats.
Just, and I fucking hated the song
already.
And then it was like I could smell it on my clothes.
Mm-hmm. The first radio station I ever worked for in Athens, Georgia, WPUP, the guy who hired me claimed that in radio, you're probably familiar with the terminology of breaking a band, like to be the first radio station to really get behind a certain band or certain song. But my boss claimed to break Matchbox 20. We were the first rock radio station in America to play Matchbox 20 on a regular basis. Oh, so I was part of the problem.
Get him on the gallows for that.
Yeah. Yeah, did I remember playing 3 a.m., played the shit out of that song, a few others.
They were just so, I was trying so hard to be punk rock, and they were just so inoffensive that I was angry at them. But has there any been, people that are self-aware or come around? I think social media has given people the ability, did you ever see the Always Sunny in Philadelphia where Rob Thomas, the singer of Matchbox 20, and Sinbad are in a loony bin with I forget which character. It was awesome because it's like, oh man, you are actually a dude that's like, yeah, I was in this band, now I'm gonna break away and do this wild shit. And then it's Sinbad forever, dude. That's I'm in that camp. Sinbad forever.
There was about a 3-year period in my adolescence where Sinbad was the funniest human being on the planet.
I bet. If you go back to it, it would still be great.
Mm-hmm. Then you started showing up on A Different World. That was a thrill. Like, oh, look, it's Sinbad on a sitcom.
And as I look at it, apparently he got the gig. Rob Thomas got the gig because he invited the Always Sunny gang to a concert, and they reciprocated with an offer to guest on a show. And it's just he's part of some fever dream one of the guys is having, and Sinbad and Rob. And that's where wait a minute, these guys might be pretty cool and have a sense of humor about themselves.
Yeah,
like who is it? What's the band on? Papa Roach, Father Roach. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Where they do the cut my life into pieces. But that dude's on TikTok just watching everybody do their own silly versions of the song and having a good time with it. It's like, all right, you know what? It's like that's growing old gracefully.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're like a one hit wonder or something. Like, that's how you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I respect anybody in entertainment who doesn't take themselves too seriously. That's a good quality to have.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of other examples of that, but it's nice. No. It's nice when you see someone like, yeah, I'm willing to get out of this character and be a silly dude.
Yeah.
I went, speaking of rock and roll music, I went out last night. Saw me some Face to Face.
Okay. I've seen Face to Face. I saw them way back in the day.
Seen them a bunch. And they they have, I don't know how many original members. They have the one bass player who's not the original bass player, but he's actually the brother of a dude that's in Foo Fighters, Shiflett.
Okay, yeah. And, I think that's the same guy that has a good, I think he's the same Foo Fighter that has a great country music podcast called Walking the Floor.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Look at this world we're in, man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's all connected, man. Mm-hmm. What if the yarn going from pushpin to pushpin on the conspiracy board is just how many good times know each other? how many fun things are friends? So they were there, the Bronx, which I stand by saying that is one. I'm sure there's more, but man, one of the truly great rock and roll bands.
Yeah, I like them, and you turned me on to their side project. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, Mariachi El Bronx. Sincere mariachi band. They're from L.A. Yeah. As soon as I heard they were from L.A., and they're like, yeah, fuck it, we're called the Bronx. I'm like, that's hilarious. And that dude knows how to... I went to the show, and I forget, the first band was this band called Pet Needs. They're from England, and they were fine. They were a little bit too amicable.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? As much as like music is like it should be inclusive and make everybody feel good, it was a little bit too sunny for me. Which
okay
for the opening band, they got the crowd going. For an opening band that nobody really knew, they got everybody up and running with good positive energy, and that's a good thing. But it's almost like when an MC for a comedy show is just too jovial,
too cutesy.
How are you doing? And that's great. Oh, that, you know, and it's like, and that's actually a good thing. Me personally, I'm like, where's the dirt?
Yeah.
Where's the, come on, you're in a rock and roll band. And then the lineup was, cause then I thought Face to Face would be next, but it was the Bronx, and they had the bass player from the first band had to go, was playing for the Bronx, which was weird. That happened the day before. So this dude in the first band just learned all the Bronx's set list to be.
Oh, he's just filling in for somebody who.
Yeah, and I don't know what happened there. Yeah, but they, man, what a show.
I always hear stories about that, about musicians filling in last minute. And like, oh, we gave him the CD, had to learn all 14 songs in 2 days. Like, that blows my mind, how you could just learn completely new songs in the matter of days. And then, okay, I got it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, here's the set list, and here's the easiest songs for you to learn that we all are rehearsed for. But I thought it was awesome. Like, good job on that fella filling in. But the Bronx, I mean, the guy just goes out and gets a long mic cable, and he just goes out in the crowd, gets the whole crowd doing a circle pit around him while he's singing. And just nice. A little bald dude with swagger. He's like kind of cocky, you know?
Sounds like somebody else I know.
Yeah. Come on, man. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's where I get it from. I was watching him. Like, I like this guy. This guy's got a little attitude. And then Face to Face came out, and I just look like I'm in Face to Face now. They're just chubby middle-aged dudes with gray beards going like, man, yeah, we wrote like 5 new albums, but you fuckers want to hear Disconnected, right? All right, here you go. And I got in the pit for that one. I had some tequila in me at that point. I'm like, I'm going down there. And it was fun. It wasn't like some fist throwing kind of pit. It was the good. Everybody kept their arms below shoulder level and just pushed each other around. And I had a good old time. Probably not the most responsible thing to do during COVID. I got a booster shot today because maybe I can time travel with this booster shot.
Oh, man. That's funny. Well, Face to Face, were they part of that New York City hardcore scene? Is that where they're from?
No, Face to Face is Southern California.
Okay.
Like, they were more in with, like, your Pennywise. They were Fat Records, like Pennywise, Strung Out, Good Riddance.
Okay.
They were a little bit more melodical. Melodical?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But yeah, they were great. And then the headliner was this fellow named Frank Turner. And it was like, I could tell, like, and that everybody was hyped and it was good, but it was the same thing. They just felt a little too, it felt like kind of Sesame Street-ish.
Oh, yeah?
It was a little bit too much, like, it was too cheerful.
Hmm.
And it's, that's, again, that's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It's not my thing.
Yeah.
And it was already, I had flown yesterday, I didn't get a lot of sleep, so I was like, I gotta get out of here. It was one of those, hey, you guys all look like you're having a great time. Keep it up. Keep up the good work, everybody. I'm going to take off.
Good for you, though, for getting out of the house on a travel day. You've already flown. You land and then go back out.
It happened last week, too. Well, yeah. These bands are playing. I'm like, I don't know how many times I'm going to have a chance to see these guys again.
Yeah.
And where, and because of traveling, you know, what lines up with what? Last week, the Slackers played on Sunday night, so I got in. I'm like, I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to go see the Slackers.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, but that's that
I'm
was
going
that.
To a show Friday. I'm going to go
Who
see
you going to go see?
You're probably going to laugh. It's I'm very excited
Now I want to guess. Now I want to guess at what I might laugh at.
Okay. I think you've laughed at this band before. It's an iconic band, and it's their front man doing kind of a weird solo thing.
Leanne Rimes.
No, it don't.
It's not Leanne Rimes. It's I don't know. Yeah, iconic band with a front man doing a weird thing. Chris Gaines. Are you going to go see Garth Brooks?
I'm going to go see Garth Brooks.
Shout out to that. Shout out to Garth Brooks being the biggest country star and be like, yeah, I'm going to do some weird shit. Like doing weird shit at the top of your game when you don't need more fans, when you're like, actually, I can lose some of these people. I'm trying to lose. I got too many assholes into my stuff right now. I'm going to get weird.
But did he get weird? Like,
I don't know.
Or I think it was, I would have respected it if somebody like that did something truly eclectic and weird, but it was just different and it was weird because he had an alter ego and he put on a wig.
It's like when you're too chicken shit to break up with somebody, so you used to just act like a dickhead in the relationship and see if they'll
oh man. I'm gonna go see Les Claypool of Primus do weird jazz. It's called Les Claypool's Bastard Jazz.
I mean, it's not like Primus was this 4/4 time.
Yeah, exactly.
Beatles influenced rock band. I mean,
yeah, they were pretty weird. Yeah. Are pretty weird. They're still touring, but
all right, Les Claypool doing some jazz.
Yeah, I've always been a huge Primus guy, and most of his side projects I like. There's a few. I mean, he's one of those dudes that probably has really, I don't know for a fact, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's 10 different projects that he's recorded throughout his career. I mean, he had a band called Sausage, and he's got the Les Claypool Flying Frog Brigade. Then he did something with, I think it was Julian Lennon, one of John Lennon's sons. But yeah, this is just him, and it's not solo in the fact that it's just him. It's just a side project. I mean, he's got different players with him, but I sampled a little of it on YouTube, and sound pretty good. Not so much jazz. I think that might be a little marketing or whatever. I mean, it was jazzy, but it was definitely
If you don't know how to categorize it, you can call it jazz.
Yeah. But yeah, go see. I've never been to the Ford Theater over here.
One guy LA swallows a kazoo and another guy farts into a bucket. I don't know.
Oh, man. Good times. Yeah. I love getting out and seeing some light. Well, as long as it's not too loud. I told you about going to see Southern Culture on the Skids and we had to leave because it was too loud. Officially old.
I did the same thing last night. I was looking for earplugs before I left the house. I'm like, maybe it won't be that bad. And then the first band started. I was like, I gotta get some toilet paper in my ears. And then the Bronx were playing, but the sound wasn't real good. So I took the toilet paper out. And then I was just in the pit for like, it started off trying to be such a responsible. Like, I'm going to stay up on the balcony. I'm just going to have some drinks. I got my toilet paper on my ears. And I'm just sweating with people. We're screaming in each other's mouths. I'm like, all right, well.
Did you go by yourself?
Yeah, well, I asked Rachel out of being polite, but I'm like, I'll be honest, you're not going to like any of this.
Yeah. I had to prove to Katie that this was not, in fact, Primus. I was like, it's the guy from Breakfast. Because she's, whenever I play Primus, she's like, what the fuck is that?
Primus is, I get it.
It's not for everybody. Yeah. But like, I was like, I promise you, it's not his regular band. I showed her a little sample. She's like, all right, I'll go see that.
What do you do when you listen to Primus?
What do you mean?
Like, I think about, like, oh, this is a good band to drive around to, and mm-hmm. this is what I want to, like, listen to while I'm maybe exercising, or this is a band, like, oh, I'll fall asleep, listen to this on a plane or something. What goes with Primus?
Everything. Really? I listen to them all the time. Yeah, great driving music. Well, one thing that definitely goes with them most of the time, unless I'm driving, is weed. So they're one of those great, yeah. just cliche, get stoned and listen to bands.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, were you ever a Faith No More guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were big influence early on. That what's the record? This Is It? Or what's the name of that one? That big breakout record that had Epic on it.
Epic on it. I don't know what the name of that album was.
Yeah. But yeah, that was...
Mike Patton's like one of those guys that just does a bunch of crazy stuff.
And... when I first learned of them was kind of at the Red Hot Chili Peppers height. Well, not at their height, but it was right when they were popping off. And I hated the Chili Peppers. And I was like, oh, this is if the Chili Peppers were good. Because it still kind of had that little bit of that funk, heavy bass stuff. And but yeah, to me, Faith No More was always just like the legit Chili Peppers.
Hard Times had a great headline about like, man experiencing Mandela effect swears there was a good Red Hot Chili Peppers record. Then what? Mother's Milk was a good album. I don't care. I don't care what anybody says. Mother's Milk was a good album. Mostly because it was before the Blood Sugar Sex Magik one came out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, I thought, like, oh man, these guys are cool and they're weird. Uh-huh. And then everybody liked them. And I'm like, well, no, I can't like them because everybody likes them. I was that kind of dickhead.
My mom made me toss Mother's Milk in the trash.
What had a naked lady on the cover? So,
it's come on, it's art.
I could see that one not going well with the parents.
That and Beastie Boys, because that just sounds dirty. Made me smash my License to Ill cassette because Beastie Boys sounds dirty.
Making you smash them though.
Mm-hmm. Made me go out in the driveway and smash it with a hammer. I was like, yeah, like what the fuck? This is a little personal, no?
That's just cold blooded. That's kind of cold blooded, man. Mrs. Stone, cold blooded. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Was not putting up with it.
Oh, man. What's your life like right now, Dave? How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man.
Are you well as an individual?
I'm very well. I could be doing better because my neighbor last night, unbeknownst to me at 4 in the morning, chased off some catalytic converter thieves with a bat, and he smashed their window.
Nice. Like, good job.
And I was like, dude, you got to text. You got to call me next time.
That's why I was like, wait a minute. You could be doing better because you could have gotten in a fight last night. You
didn't. I wanted to help my neighbor. How dare you? Fuck off.
Man, you know I live for this shit.
I do. Like, dude, come on. And where, it's a new neighborhood.
Garage,
it's like
your garage?
No, right in front of our building on the street. Yeah, street parking.
That is a hot ticket item right now.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, he chased. He said it was three Persian teenagers is how he described them. And he chased them off, and they hopped into their car. And while they were all getting in, he went and smashed the driver's side window with his baseball bat. And he's like, "Alien, yeah." And oh man, there's so much fucking crime here. But it made me do a little research. I knew that catalytic converter theft was a big thing. It was really big when we lived in Long Beach.
Yeah.
Grabbing those things all the time. But I just did a quick little research as far as like what you can do to kind of protect yourself. A lot of people are getting up under there and etching either their license plate or their VIN number directly into the metal of the catalytic converter. That way, A, it might be a deterrent if they crawl under there and the thieves crawl under there and see it. Maybe they won't grab it. And even if they do, they'd have a hard time selling it to someone because they're like, hey, asshole.
Well, this is my question. Who's out there just buying catalytic converters acting like, these were all acquired through honest means?
I'm sure. I don't know enough about it, but it wouldn't surprise me if some of the aftermarket industry in terms of like used cars and stuff. I'm sure a lot of that sleazy shit goes on.
Yeah, like I think they're just gonna. Yeah, there's a market for them.
Mm-hmm. Go out on the street and boast another satin. Sorry, Sopranos.
I texted you last night. I was like, David Lee Roth in the Sopranos.
Yes, I thought you knew that, or I would have told you already.
Wow. All right, Diamond Dave showing up. Good to see you.
Back I used to be able to write off condoms.
That was his own line. And I don't know when you saw it last, but you're delivering it perfectly. That's exactly how he said it.
A lot of cameos either in that scene or they have a few scenes where they're doing that poker game, but Frank Sinatra Jr., Brillstein, Bernie Brillstein, Lawrence Taylor, greatest defensive NFL player that ever lived.
That's who was in that?
Was that the big black guy.
That was the big black guy?
Yeah, literally the best defensive football player who ever walked the face of the earth. I mean, he was just insane. Yeah, this guy was insane.
Didn't mean so a stereotype. Good. With when you're talking about defensive linemen. Wait, the big black guy? Yeah, I didn't think it was the old Italian guy that's 5'4".
The little chubby
and just
Jewish
as
guy.
Wide. Yeah, I'm sorry. It wasn't stereotyping. If you saw the scene, it's either David Lee Roth, one of the six Italian guys, or the big black guy. I'm going to go with the big black guy being the guy who's in the NFL. Jump up my ass if you got to, everybody, but that's how I deduced.
Oh, my God. Oh, dude. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, catalytic converter. So you can either get up under there, and I tried to do that to mine today, but I need to get a jack. I couldn't squeeze in. I'm a little girthier than average mechanic.
That two-inch lift isn't enough for old Dave to get under there.
Going to have to get a 4-inch lift. But you can either etch your VIN or license plate on there. Another thing you can do is just simply paint it. Just paint it a whatever color, because apparently that makes it hard for them to sell aftermarket. So maybe I'll just get up there and paint it.
I just don't understand. Like, I just think if it's aftermarket, it's like people, like, if a tweaker's rolling up with copper wiring, you're not like, oh, where did you get this from? You're like, hell yeah, let me also make money. Like, they're just part of also the criminal aspect.
Yeah. I mean, pawn shops. A lot. I'm not painting them all with the same brush, but a lot of pawn dealers just buy whatever, knowing that it's probably stolen.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna see who buys catalytic converters.
Who's apparently, there's like precious metals inside of it too. There's some.
Oh yeah, that's part of why they.
Yeah, the filtration system or whatever. There's all these weird precious metals. So,
average scrap value of a catalytic converter is between $300 and $1,500.
Jesus Christ! So yeah, there you go.
All right, these people. Okay, maybe there are a lot of honest. Okay, and there's a law in Oregon that says Oregon scrapyards and vehicle dismantlers are adjusting to a new law that puts them on the hook for buying stolen catalytic converters. All right, maybe. Mm-hmm. Wild.
Yeah, just like the Sopranos crew was doing with airbags. They would
steal airbags. I'm not at that point yet. Haven't made it up to that point yet.
Oh man, it's so good. It's about time for me to start rewatching it.
I think I over binged. Mm-hmm. I think I binged, and now I'm purging.
You were like, talking about how funny it was, like unintentionally funny. It is so funny. I don't know what's unintentional and what's intentional, but. Now, like when you first watch it, it's very much a compelling mafia drama. But after you've seen it a few times, you start picking up on some of the nuance and some of the comedic timing of the actors. And like, man, there's so much funny shit.
Paulie, the guy who just passed away,
mm-hmm.
which,
yeah.
you know, he's a cartoon. But he's not.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then if you have kids that watch that stuff,
mm-hmm.
like I know people that are like that in real life.
Mm-hmm.
But then it gets turned up for a TV show, and then somebody who's already going to be kind of like that, do they turn it up more because of seeing the way it's represented? Like, oh, everybody likes the way Italians are mm-hmm. represented. I'm going to be that guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, he was legit. He was really a connected dude back in the day. And then he went to prison and got out and started acting. Oh, speaking of which, Paul Sorvino died today, too, of Goodfellas fame. That sucks. So it's crazy. In, like, just, what, a couple months, we've had Paul Sorvino, Tony Sirico, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Pauly Walnut. Ray Liotta, and then James Caan. All these mafia actors.
I mean, everybody's old as shit.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if there's an era when we were 16 and all of a sudden, like, oh, Laurence Olivier died right after George C. Scott. I'm like, who gives a fuck? They're all old. And now it's just like, oh, wait, no. I remember seeing these guys in movies and they weren't old.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's well. It's like, was it Farrah Fawcett who her death got completely overshadowed because she died the same day that Michael Jackson died?
Oh yeah, Michael Jackson.
My dad died the same day Vinnie Paul of Pantera fame died. So they'll always have that connection. It's the only connection they'll have.
I was gonna say you're gonna forget that your dad died because you're like, oh man, Vinnie Paul, R.I.P. Dude.
It was crazy because my dad loved Far Beyond Driven.
Guys, I don't want to admit this. My dad was Vinnie Paul.
That would be cool.
Dave's dad was in Pantera.
And not too unbelievable based on our appearances. It's like, it's like I don't know if the math works, but they definitely look like they have the same genes.
Was that Dimebag's brother?
Yeah, they were real brothers.
Dimebag Paul? These are my sons, Vincent and Dimebag. Not a lot of hope for Dimebag. Vincent, we thought, might at least gotten an associate's degree, but Dimebag, we did not set him up for success.
8-Ball's not here right now. He's with his friends, or else you could meet all my sons. Oh, jeez. You hear about the Pantera news, speaking of which. They're reuniting, kind of. They're going to... Oh, what's his fuck? That,
Phil Anselmo just...
Phil and Rex are getting together.
Nazi saluting around the stage by himself.
Zach Wilde is going to play the part of Dimebag.
I have heard my
Ozzy
buddy,
fame and Black Label Society.
Yeah, my buddy said Black Label Society shows are pretty great. I know nothing about them, but
it's like
he said
biker
like,
metal.
They go see him. Yeah, but he said that
I like them.
Good shows. I'm like, all right,
good stuff. Yeah, his. His guitar stuff is, I mean, just his tone is just insane. Like, big guitar.
A good show, regardless of genre, a good show, like, be like, okay, I'm impressed. I'm never going to listen to you again, but hell, this was a wild show.
I met Zach Wilde. Back, I told you about doing that Fozzy documentary back in, like, the year 2000.
Yeah.
They did this mockumentary, which now I realize, I didn't notice it at the time, a blatant Spinal Tap ripoff, and they probably even would have admitted that, but just the whole tone and style of the little documentary was just like, oh, you're just doing metal Spinal Tap. That's kind of redundant, but modern metal Spinal Tap. But yeah, he was in that, and I got to hang out with him one day. And nice dude. Not the best personality, but cordial enough. Not much of a talker.
Zach Wilde.
Yeah.
Well.
Met Dee Snider that day, too. He was in that.
I saw somebody wrote online where it's like, you know, like it's funny what people get pissed off about which musicians, like people getting mad at Rage Against the Machine. Like, oh, they're just a bunch of fucking socialists. Like, did you not listen to any of their lyrics from day one?
Yeah. Yeah. No shit.
From day one. But somebody said about Dee Snider, somebody's like, oh, so disappointing. This guy wrote the anthem, we're not going to take it. And he's just woke liberal. It's like standing for the liberals. It's like, oh, yeah, the guy with the feather boa and all the makeup standing up for gay and trans rights. What would have given the idea he agreed with them more?
Yeah. Oh, man. We all know the economy's getting out of hand. It's chaos out there. Everything is more expensive. Gas is more expensive. Groceries is more expensive. Everything's getting expensive except, I don't know how to phrase, your intimate recreational toy. AdamandEve.com, that's who I'm talking about. Toys, things, that marital aids, whatever you want to refer to them as. AdamandEve.com has all of those fun, spicy, interesting things, and they're going to give them to you for 50% off plus free shipping. That's right, 50% off an adventurous new toy, some lube. God knows they got everything you need. So just get on AdamandEve.com and just hunt and peck until you hit the sweet spot. And you're like, hey, that's what I'm into. Click, send. There you go. Boogie Monster listeners, you're going to get 50% off almost any one item. Just use code BOOGIE at checkout. You'll get 50% off, but that's not all. You're also going to get 3 bonus sexy items. Wow. 6 movies for free, plus shipping. Doesn't matter what you choose. All will be packaged and sent discreetly for free. Not only will you save money on gas, movies, date night, dinners out, what have you, but this is the item that will continue to save you money. It just keeps on delivering. You know, you find a good one, you find something good there, you like it, AdamandEve.com, and it's kind of like a cast iron skillet. If you take care of it, it'll last you a lifetime, and you can pass it down to your children and grandchildren. Use code BOOGIE, that's B-O-O-G-I-E. This exclusive offer is specific to the Boogie Monster listeners, so be sure to use that code and show your support for this show. Use code BOOGIE to get not just the 50% off, but also the 100% free shipping. That's code BOOGIE. Go to AdamandEve.com right now. All right, fresh from San Diego, California, comes the only sunglasses brand I'm ever going to wear again. I'm talking about Blenders Eyewear. You're going to be just as hooked as I am when you see how awesome these shades are. Like I've said before repeatedly, I got the Swagger Cat and have since lost them. So Blenders, feel free to send some more my way. Chase Fisher, that's the guy who should send them to me. He started Blenders by selling his beachy shades out of a backpack while doubling as a surf instructor on Pacific Beach. His goal? To create an adventurous, mid-priced eyewear option with the same cool factor as other leading styles. Unlike expensive big brand shades that you're probably going to lose or smash, Blenders are actually affordable, so you're not going to cry as much when the inevitable happens. Blenders' team of in-house designers are constantly coming out with new styles, from orange polarized wraparounds, tortoise shell frames with purple lenses, that's cool, to classic gold arms on black lenses. And it's not just sunglasses. Blenders has prescription glasses, readers, blue lights, everything you need, even snow goggles. How about that? Live life in forward motion with Blenders today. Here's what you do. To score 15% off your Blenders purchase, visit BlendersEyewear.com, enter promo code BOOGIEVIP. That's BlendersEyewear.com, code BOOGIEVIP for 15% off. Blenders, rocked with pride worldwide. Oh, what else going on? Oh, dude, I made some killer tomato sauce the other day.
Oh, we're getting to the food early. All right, let's talk about
dude.
It.
Yeah, dude, just
tomato sauce. Tomato sauce, gravy. Dave, do you mean gravy?
Yeah, good gravy today.
Good gravy?
It's good gravy. Macaroni and gravy. Dude, so good. So simple, so good. Just get you some good tomato, good canned tomatoes. I use the San Marzano just because I think they come directly from Italy, or at least.
Is it only label. Because of the name?
Yeah. So these got to be good.
Fragile. Must be Italian.
must be Italian. Now, I'm not going to give the recipe right now. I'm just, all it's right. Just so good. Just so
who's
good.
Enjoyed a meal?
Just
fucking yeah, you
shocking.
Did.
Shocking.
Fucking yeah, Dave, you did, Dave.
Prepared and ate and enjoyed a meal.
But you've admitted when you beefed something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. They're not all hits.
It was hard for you to do. I remember that episode. Mm-hmm. It was hard for you.
Yeah,
to open up about
ribs.
That,
but yeah,
we're here for you.
Yeah, but no, I had a. It was this was a success. It's a good time.
Just, congratulations.
Good times, buddy. Anything else going on? What'd you do? How was Louisville?
It was good, man. Shows were fun. Yeah. Worked with my buddy Alex Price was great. MC was named Amber Autry from Nashville. She was fucking fantastic. Like,
oh yeah,
you know when somebody's an MC, but you're like, oh, you are doing, you have the magic, and you're just doing a regular good set.
Yeah,
but got people on your side right away.
Mm-hmm.
So
actually, I love I when you can for, tell who's naturally her to, funny.
Yeah, I put in for her to MC for us when we're in Nashville.
Nice. Right on, yeah. Man. That was
so she was great. Alex was great. It was a pretty mellow weekend. These weekends, I get down there, fly in the red eye, kind of just hang out, sleep all Thursday because I flew all night, do the show Thursday. Maybe I get out a little bit Friday or Saturday, but saw Ryan Singer, though, our buddy Ryan Singer.
Yeah, he was in kicking around. Yeah.
He was there. Uncle Lair was over at Comedy Caravan. If I could have snuck out and had the same time, I would have still seen an Uncle Lair set. You bet your ass.
Yeah, I'll go see Uncle Lair. I think I have seen him. I think I saw him at the Punchline Atlanta years ago before I even started comedy.
One of the last old school dudes that I know still out there doing it that I would want to go see.
Yeah.
And Singer, we've had Ryan Singer on the show. For those that don't know, Brian Singer has acquired many paranormal experiences.
Yes.
He's been out there. He's been in there. He's been around it. And but he was telling me about one of the things. He's got a special coming out soon that he filmed, and it's like a two-part thing because one of it's a comedy special, but he taped it in a haunted school, right?
Yeah.
Filmed it in a haunted school. Mm-hmm. And then the other special is like them exploring the paranormal stuff that happens at school. But his attitude was that like everything's connected, like aliens, extraterrestrials are also connected to ghosts. Like that's all the same energy out there. Like it's just, these are just other dimensional elements. And so he was talking about how he was using the spirit box and stuff like that. But he's asking if there's aliens out there.
Like, is he getting any response?
I mean, he said he did, and I don't want to spoil whatever he got for the show. But
yeah,
I'm like, I just like the concept. I figure for all the stuff we've talked about, we haven't really talked about the concept of like these devices, even though some of them seem like they're like gimmicky or novelty items to a lot of people that. Like,
the ghost hunting equipment?
Yeah, I think it's glorified garage clickers and shit. But, like, what if you're asking aliens to communicate because it's just a dimensional communication device? Not necessarily for ghosts, but just for, like, it's like almost like a stud finder. Like, I can't see what's in there, but this can, you know?
Yeah.
No matter what it is, like it's all the stuff is just on the other side of the drywall, not just a ghost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And I was like, oh man, all right. Okay. This is an interesting concept.
Yeah. That overall umbrella of a topic of just multiple dimensions or other dimensions, like that's always been fascinating to me because I feel like our human brains are kind of programmed to just think kind of like, I don't know if linear is the correct term, but just things have to kind of be moved from point A to point B. And sometimes it just feels like, there's other dimensions that just don't make sense. Like it doesn't necessarily have to be a different planet or something, from outer space. It could be something.
Yeah.
Just a parallel universe that's just in a neighboring dimension.
I was that was one of the original thoughts when we thought this was going to be a linear podcast was about we don't know all the science out there. There's still science to be developed and explored regarding these things.
Yeah.
That even some of the highest minds are just kind of tinkering with dimensions and time overlaps or tears in the fabric of time type of thing.
Yeah, Ryan's, he's always pondering that stuff. You know, his mind just never stops thinking about that kind of stuff.
Well, that's one of the things. I was talking to him about this, and because God knows that more cis-het men should be discussing transgender people. That's what they need more of. They definitely need more of our opinions. But I was truly thinking about it because, sometimes you got to listen to the arguments people have against something to see if you can dismantle them or break up problems. I think, first off, just from a moral standpoint, it's not hurting anybody. Mm-hmm. It's not hurting anybody.
No.
If I'm being totally honest, I'm curious about like doing the hormone blockers to a kid, but I'm not educated enough to know why. That one mm-hmm. sounds like, changing anybody like when they're 8 years old, giving them medicine to change the outcome of their life. That one's all right. That one's out. I need to be educated mm-hmm. more on that because that one seems a little scary to me. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's like, okay, people criticizing that. Like, I do agree. When I was eight, what everybody wanted to be all kinds of shit when they were eight.
Yeah.
And you're very influenced at that age.
Mm-hmm.
Or impressionable. But I like the way, like, we're going to have like biomechanical inserts in our body. I mean, you think about what people are already doing with prosthesis and cochlear implants and shit, LASIK surgery, things to fix stuff that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you go past that? Like, oh, it's not something wrong. I now want to augment myself with technology.
Uh-huh.
Like, do we not think that in 500 years, shit, 100 years, that's how people are going to have, like, I'm pretty sure I saw somewhere where you could already do like a pay, like how you can do Apple Pay from your phone.
Uh-huh.
They can put something like that, like in your fingertip.
Really?
So you'll never have to have a wallet. You're like, I'm pretty sure I saw, I don't know if it's happening now or it's like one of these theoretical soon to be things, but mm-hmm. I think about just that. I saw like, oh, it's been 15 years since the iPhone came out. Think about 15 years, what we're doing with that.
Yeah.
With Bluetooth headphones and all this kind of stuff. And I think transgender, like, I think that's just part of the future.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of determining your own being in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just people are just hung up on it because it's something new and it scares the status quo. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the advancement of humankind. Is being able to determine these own things about yourself and change them at your own will. That's my theory on it. I'm not trying to kiss anybody's ass over these ideas. I just think like that's like, if we're thinking about like futurism and like, where's the human race going to be
uh-huh.
in however many years you want to, what number you want to put on it. That's how I'd look at transgender. It's like, oh yeah, you just, these things can, we, you know, that's advancement of the human race.
Do you have any aftermarket modifications of your own that you would, let's say that technology was just immediately available tomorrow, then mm-hmm. whatever we're hypothesizing on, these hypotheticals, if you could go and get something done like that tomorrow, trying to think what I might want.
Fat old hog.
Fat old hog.
But I did get LASIK.
Yeah. Okay.
I
mean, you could argue that the lap band surgery is kind of, would that fall under that umbrella?
Well,
people are, or is that just simply medical?
I think it's medical. I think LASIK's mm-hmm. medical. You're using technology to do a medical procedure, but like, mm-hmm. what would you have in yourself that's,
yeah,
tech?
I wonder if we're ever going to reach the point where science can figure out how to make people taller. I can see that being very desired.
Well, sure, but that's one of those things. Like, once everybody starts trying to look like the standard of beauty, then that doesn't. Mm-hmm. How is that considered beautiful anymore?
Yeah.
What's and of course this all goes into like, it always goes back to furries. Like, yeah, I think it's weird, but I don't, whatever, man. Mm-hmm. Just because I think it's weird doesn't mean I think it's wrong. What about this? Okay, you can you can already go like, hey Siri, talk to your phone. You can already take a message with your own voice and send it to a text. And somebody's already got their AirPods in somewhere else that you sent that text to.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I'm trying to get at like how this could connect to like telekinesis.
Okay.
Like, how could you communicate? Because eventually I think you're going to be able to... well, I mean, because that would mean, okay, can you somehow translate your thought into text without using your voice or your hands, you know?
I think, I mean, that Neuralink thing that Musk was talking about, have they started that? I don't know. We did a whole episode on that several years ago.
Getting his dick wet and screwing everything up.
But that was kind of the point of the Neuralink thing, was they insert this chip in you and you can do transactions just through telekinesis.
Brain-computer interface could cure tinnitus. I've got that already. What exactly can a Neuralink do? It's just brain-machine interfaces. That's what they're doing. These devices have use cases ranging from treating Parkinson's disease and restoring bodily function in paralyzed patients to control computers with your thoughts and communicating telepathically with other users. All right, well, fuck me. That's already the plan for it. Okay, never mind. It's out there already. So that shit's out there already. Telekinesis is already on the table.
Jeez. Yeah, it's insane to think about where we're going to be in 20, 30 years. Well, I was thinking about revisiting this idea, not today because I'm not prepared, but several years ago we did a whole episode on the singularity.
Yeah.
And part of that concept is the fact that I don't know how they determine this, but they think that technology doubles itself every 2 years, something like that. So, I mean, that was 5 years ago that we talked about that.
Yeah, it's like that Moore's law that it always, mm-hmm. like it exponentially advances.
Yeah, Moore's law.
It took so long. Listen, somebody smarter is going to go on to Boogie Monster mm-hmm. Reddit and correct me here. But it took X amount of years from mankind to like figure out how to farm to get to the agricultural revolution to industrial revolution. It took half that amount of time to get from there to the next one and so on and so on.
Yeah.
Speaking of technology, there's a fart pedal for guitar I've been looking at.
Of course you have. Oh, my God.
I mean, hey, it's no Neuralink. All right?
What does the fart pedal do? I mean,
it's no,
I understand.
Telekinesis pair of Beats headphones. No, you just plug it in and you play a note, but it's the notes of fart.
But then can you play that farted note and
turn it into some beautiful fart?
That's
the problem with the technology right now.
Uh-huh.
Is that right now it just makes random fart sounds.
But if they can match
tone and pitch, then I'm going to spend money on this thing.
I mean, that could be like the new distortion.
Which is, I bet you that's exactly when somebody first played distorted guitar, some old jazz guitar, like, sounds like a bucket of farts to me. And that goes back to the jazz joke I made earlier. That's called the singularity, motherfucker.
Oh, my God.
It's the best podcast that ever existed.
Oh, Jesus. A fucking fart pedal.
Suck my dick, NPR.
Oh. Man, speaking of futuristic shit I don't understand, I have been slogging through Severance. I'm finally...
Oh, really?
I got one episode left. It's one of those shows, in my opinion, it's the big picture. Whatever they're going to reveal, hopefully, in this final episode, I get that they're building up to something that's probably pretty interesting, but it just felt like they could have done this in a movie. This felt like it should have been 90 minutes instead of a 8-9 episode series. Like, it's just like it's been so slow, and I don't know if it's that Adam Scott bores the shit out of me or what, but like I want to like it, but man, it's been the most exhausting series I think I've ever, like, in terms of like, oh God, is this still going? Like, get to the good part. It's going to pay off though.
I think it did. I think it's, okay. I think it's,
It's my, not, you know, bingeable. I don't know how anybody could sit and binge that in one or two settings. Like, just fucking.
It's a slow burner for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't mind a slow burn, but hopefully there's a payoff.
I thought there was.
Okay.
It did set up like as weird, but then as you're getting through it, you're like, oh, that's what's going on. Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Oh, curious. But I had to rewind a few times because it was one of those like, oh, that detail. This, what I'm watching now made sense because they dropped a detail before that I wasn't paying attention. It's not like I'm going to look at my phone while I'm watching this kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So, deserves
it. See, I'm going to probably finish that tonight after I take a nap and have some caffeine. I do like all the actors, though. I mean, I love John Turturro. I love that dude. I don't know his name, but one of the main workers, the chubby guy with glasses.
Funny.
I like that. He was in Pete Holmes' show, whatever that was, Crashing. He played his manager. Succession. Oh, is he in Succession?
He was for a brief moment. He was where Culkin's character goes to roller coaster school.
Man, I don't remember that one.
Remember they sent him off to like the amusement park management training?
Oh, right.
Like like his lab partner or whatever there.
That guy just plays like the perfect, like deadpan, like, huh?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I'm smart. I could do it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good one. Yeah. I liked it. I think it's a good one, but yeah, it takes a little while.
Okay.
You want to talk about topic? You want to do topic, Dave?
Man, you know what else I've been watching all damn weekend?
We don't have to do a topic.
Stumbled. No, this is the topic.
Oh, okay. All right. I was like, man, you just steamrolled right over my
head. No, I was taking your lead there.
Hey, fuck me for trying to get to the point of the show.
I watched a documentary this weekend. It was so good, I watched it twice. And it wasn't a documentary, it was a documentary series. It was like six episodes. Mowed through it on one day. Enjoyed it so much, I sat down the next day and watched it again. And we don't do a lot of true crime on this show because Lord knows there's an oversaturation of that topic. But I'd be lying if I said I wasn't sometimes fascinated by serial killers. I mean, it's an easy – it's obviously – there's the moral conflict that, you know, it's one of the most horrible things that humanity's ever experienced. But at the same time, it's pretty intriguing.
But that's why. That's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For as much as that, you know, we can get mad at all the white women loving a serial killer, get mad, but critical of them. How many people just watch the History Channel World War II Hitler shit every day?
So, exactly. Yeah.
Also, I just want to point out, so you watched six episodes of a show about a serial killer and then did the same thing the next day.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very serial of you.
Yeah.
That's in itself. That's a little bit okay.
And I got better at it the second time, I learned from my mistakes. Took notes. It's on Hulu. It's not brand new. I think it came out last year. A documentary series called City of Angels, City of Death. There's no comma, but it's just City of Angels, City of Death, and it's all about now. There's been so many different serial killers in Los Angeles, some that we know of, some that we don't, but it only focuses on a brief period. It's all the serial killing that was going on in L.A. or Southern California in the late 70s and early 80s.
Oh, so golden age, if you will.
Golden age, but this predates probably the most infamous L.A. serial killer, the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez, wasn't even in this. I mean, this tells you how much – what a body of work they had to choose from that they didn't even dip into his career. But some of these I knew about. Some of them I had no idea. But a few that I just wanted to kind of focus on today, it was really well done. Like, and I'm not like a – I love documentaries and I like movies. But like I've said before, I'm not smart enough to tell you why. Like, I don't know what makes this good and that bad. I just, I like that and I don't like that. But man, this was so well, I guess, paced. Like, just the way it was paced and just they would, like a lot of documentaries are doing now, they had multiple storylines going on kind of at the same time. They'd jump around and then the timelines would jump around. But I think just because, obviously, the fact that it was focused on LA made it a little more intriguing to me because the more I research some of these cases, it's like, oh, for example, well, I'll save this, but there's, I just can't help but like sometimes be intrigued by like, oh, right there in that parking lot's where a horrible thing went down, and I drive by that every single day.
Yeah. You know? I agree. It's I don't think it's morose. I mean, I do think like it's like, oh, it makes it real. It makes it like, oh, this is a thing that can happen.
Yeah, exactly. But we've also talked about like the concept of using other people's tragedy as like your own amusement.
I think is it, but is it amusement or is it just what a fact to make you think about your own life? Maybe mm-hmm. it makes you appreciate your life a little bit more. You're like, oh, maybe I'm not going to be in such a pissy mood today.
Yeah.
Cause I could, somebody got thrown in a trunk right over there once.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, a few, they talk about probably five or six different, serial killers. Some I never even heard of, but I'll go through a few. I was aware of these guys. Well, actually, that's incorrect. I was aware of what I thought was this guy. I had heard of the Hillside Strangler. I didn't realize it was two dudes. It was two guys. The Hillside Stranglings, that they were going down in 77 and 78. These two cousins, these two dickheads, Kenneth Bianchi and Angelo Buono. And by the way, this Angelo Buono, if they ever do, I know they've done a few movies on the Hillside Strangler case, but if they ever do a modern version, they need to cast. I never know how to pronounce the guy's name. John Bernthal, is that his name? He's one of those guys, you'd know him if you saw him. He was in
What's the guy's Wolf name? What's the murder's name?
The murder's, oh, I'm sending you a pick right now.
Angelo. I'm sending you
Angelo Buono. But I think he looks so similar as John Bernthal. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but this guy's popping up in everything. He's in
John Bernthal.
People are yelling at me right now because I don't know the name of the. He's one of the Marvel characters. He's one of the big Marvel characters. He was in Wolf of Wall Street.
He's been in a bunch of shit. That guy. That guy just. I'm sure he's a perfectly. He looks like a motherfucker.
He looks like a mean dude.
I watched Baby Driver on the plane. Like this guy plays, he plays such a good jagoff.
Yeah, in Wolf of Wall Street, he was perfect.
Like if I met him in real life, I'd be like this asshole. Like that's how good. Like he's got that face, you know.
Yeah, but yeah, if they ever do another movie, he could totally play this Angelo Buono guy. So these two cousins, Kenneth Bianchi and Angelo Buono. Kenneth Bianchi, I think, was around 27 when all this went down, and his cousin Buono was a little older. He was like in his mid-40s. And they both interesting thing about this, at least from an Angelino's perspective, this all went down like in my old hood, in Glendale, La Crescenta, whatever you call the neighborhood around Dodger Stadium. But these two, this
Chavez Ravine,
this fucking dude. Okay, the personal connection I'm talking about. Anyway, I'll get to that. They were convicted of murdering 10 women, all in just a matter of a few months, like October 77 through February of 78. So like 4 or 5 months, 10 women that they know of. And most were murdered, and Buono, he had an upholstery shop in Glendale, right almost at the corner of Glendale Boulevard and Colorado Avenue, 703 East Colorado Avenue. That's where he took all these victims, and they would kill them there and do all kinds of horrible shit. That place, that exact location, his upholstery store, is now A to Z Auto Service, where I had some work done about 5 years ago. That's always weird.
I'm looking
like, oh, shit. Right, I didn't know it at the time, but like the place I went and got some breaks is the place where dozens of women were brutally raped and murdered. So it's always weird when it hits home like that. But yeah, they kidnap these women and they
got some breaks done at that point.
Yeah. And then they would they'd murder him in his upholstery store there, and then they'd dump him, hence the name, on the hillsides around Glendale and La Cañada, La Crescenta, all around that area. And they would what made them so hard to catch is the fact that they murdered him one place and then dumped him somewhere else where there's technically – where when they found the bodies, there's no crime scene because the crime was committed elsewhere. So obviously that makes it harder for them to find. But yeah, just a couple of real rascals, just some real shitheads. And this is interesting, too. In November of 77, they abducted this gal named Catherine Lori Baker. It's a 24-year-old gal. They had her tied up. They were going through her personal possessions, going through her purse. They found a photograph of her with this actor, this old Hollywood star, Peter Lorre. I've never seen it, but I guess he was he played Peter a Lorre, serial yeah. killer. I'd heard that name, but I don't know any of his stuff. But he played a serial killer in a movie called M, just the letter M. But they saw this picture and like, oh, shit, that's in. And they had her ID, and they saw that her name was Lori. And they're like, oh, shit, that must be his daughter or granddaughter. And they let her go simply because they thought that killing a daughter of a celebrity would increase the police activity, you know, make the police step it up a notch. So they let her go.
Is it weird that, like, when's the last time you heard of just a murder in the news?
Well, day in L.A.
But, like just a murder.
You mean not a serial killer or not a...
But, like, not, like, police brutality or mm-hmm. mass violence or mass shooting, but like a murder. Like, oh, I take that back. If it's a white woman, it'll be in the news.
Yeah.
They definitely got, what was the van couple from last summer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot their names.
I take it back. That was the, a white woman will get in the news if she's murdered. But it's like, do they just think like, oh, you know what? Podcasts have this covered. The news.
Yeah, maybe.
We got other. There's everything else is so bad. We don't have time for these individual murders.
Or maybe it just makes the local news. Because, see, I watch the local LA news here just to keep up. And it's insane how much shit goes on every
fucking
day. That's true.
I don't pay attention to like local news. Mm-hmm. Unless you count the Nextdoor app.
I don't watch the news, like sit down and watch it on cable, but on YouTube there's a section for news, and then within that's a subset of local news and just has all the clips of the day from the LA newscast. Yeah, but these two fucking peckerheads, just real animals. And just, I mean, could you imagine, though? Like, seriously, like... The terrorizing a whole city. And this is the other thing they were talking about, was how some of these cases, the timelines overlapped. So there were times in the late 70s, early 80s, where in one city you had four or five active serial killers. They were talking about
what if they ever run into each other, like, oh, you're doing this one? All right, I'm sorry. This
they did
how they now, so these guys are cousins.
Yeah,
that's even weirder. That like, I got a very dark secret to admit. I'm a serial killer. Like, what? Me too. Like,
me too.
Kind of. That's what a fucking weird Thanksgiving smoking a cigarette out in the garage that was.
Oh my God. But yeah, they finally caught these bastards because Bianchi went back. He went to Washington State for a little while to lay low. And wound up killing a couple ladies up there.
For laying low.
Yeah, exactly. And and then they arrested him, tied him to all these murders, and then he rolled over on his cousin there. And just shitheads, dude. But while they were investigating these murders, they interviewed a bunch of different sex offenders, which is pretty common. You know, it's like, oh, there's, you know, foul play, you know, also involving a sex crime. See where all our registered sex offenders were on that evening. They interviewed this one dude named Rodney Alcala, A-L-C-A-L-A, Alcala. He was a registered sex offender. They interviewed him. Fortunately, he had an alibi and wasn't who they were looking for on this
his
particular
alibi
case.
Was he was out sex offending.
Yeah, exactly. This motherfucker, I never heard of this guy. His moniker was the Dating Game Killer. This Rodney Alcala, he appeared on the fucking Dating Game in 1978, and while he was on the show, they're pretty sure that he had already murdered at least eight different women. That's crazy. Just on a national TV show. And by the way, I'm a fucking murderer that you're not aware of yet.
That's some real Chuck Yeager ambition.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, we need a maniac to break the sound barrier. But it's the most risk you'll ever take. Like, I'll go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now I've already killed some women. I'm gonna go on TV and win one.
Yeah. Well, and he did. He won that episode, and he won a date with the contestant. I think her name was Cheryl Bradshaw. Fortunately, this lady had the wherewithal and the instincts. After meeting him for just a few minutes, she went and told the producers, yeah, I'm not going on a date with this guy. He's a fucking creep. And they were like,
good
okay.
For her.
Yeah, so she was like, immediately was like, nah, not doing that. And it's weird, too, when like they showed video of that episode and just – he's just got, I guess maybe the fact that I already knew that was the guy, maybe in the moment people didn't realize it, but like he just had a very creepy vibe to him. Like, just real creepy.
What about the self-esteem of the guys who didn't win the date? I got beat by a murderer. He had the charm. In the moment, he had the charm.
But yeah, and so his ruse, what he would tell people that he was a photographer. Even on that episode, they introduce him as a successful photographer, and authorities later found over 1,000 photographs of women and teenage girls, mostly in sexually explicit poses. So. Don't know how many of those different folks were actually victims, but get this. So in 68, this is 10 years before the dating game show. In 68, this asshole, he abducted and raped an 8-year-old girl. A good Samaritan saw the abduction. A good Samaritan saw the abduction, followed him to his apartment, called the police. The police knock on the door. Dude shows up in the door naked, says he just got out of the shower. I'm, you know, blah, blah, blah. Give me a second. He shuts the door, waits a few seconds. Eventually, the cop has had enough. He kicks in the door to find the 8-year-old girl just bloody and beaten and laying there. Fortunately, she survived. But while the cop was helping the girl, this dude got away. They finally...
This long story short, they serial killer stuff, Dave.
Yeah, I know it's not an uplifting episode, but get that. This is what fucking kills me. And there's so many examples of this kind of shit. But they finally catch this dude and charge him with the rape and kidnapping of this 8-year-old girl. But because the victim's family had since moved to Mexico and they wanted to keep their daughter out of any of the court stuff. They couldn't bring her back up to testify, so they had to drop the murder and the – or not murder, I'm sorry, the attempted murder and the rape charges, and they got him for just child molestation. Served 3 years of prison, got out, immediately started doing that shit again. He was paroled in 74. He was out for less than 2 years when he back to his old tricks and just numerous – They convicted him of 8 murders. They think it could be as high as 50. That's the other thing. Like, you know, you got caught for 8 murders. How many? But yeah, they seriously implied, like, yeah, we think it's closer to 50.
This fart pedal's like $400 on Amazon.
that's pretty steep.
Yeah, I think they only made a few of them. I think it's pretty rare. I don't know if I'm going to bid on it or not.
Our next partner has a product I use literally almost every day. I'm speaking, of course, about Athletic Greens. Been drinking Athletic Greens for several months now. It's definitely helped me kind of right my wrongs in my diet. As we know, not necessarily the definition of discipline, am I? I'm up, I'm down, I do great for a while, I fall off the chocolate horse or the wagon, whatever you're, I don't know. I have a hard time. sticking to a good diet. I love to cook. I hate to cook healthy food. It's boring. What's the point? So Athletic Greens has definitely helped me out, and I've been taking this stuff. Doesn't taste bad. Has a nice little tropical flavor. Just 8 to 12 ounces of water. You throw your little scoop in there. They sent me the big the canister with the scoop. I've also got the individual packs. Look at that right there. I'm not BSing you, right? I'm about to suck it down right now, my Athletic Greens. Haven't had it yet today. But yeah, what's in this stuff? 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. Adaptogens? I think that's the right word. To help you start your day right, special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, anti-aging, all that stuff. You don't have to blend a bunch of kale. You don't have to blanch anything. You don't have to chop anything. It's already in powder form. It's nice. The 8 to 12 ounces of water, that helps it. Like, now, if it would be chalky. I mean, it's simple science. If you only used, 2 or 3 ounces of water, it's going to be kind of a sludgy, chalky mess. But with the 8 to 12 ounces of water, just nice and thin. It's not chalky. Like I said, it doesn't taste bad. Got a nice little light tropical flavor. This stuff's great. No GMOs, no nasty chemicals, no artificial flavoring, no artificial anything. Supports better sleep quality. I feel like I've been sleeping a lot better since I've been taking this. Supports mental clarity and alertness. That's up for debate as far as me. It's the one thing with the best things. Athletic Greens uses the best of the best products based on the latest science with constant product iterations and third-party testing. Tons of people take some sort of multivitamin. It's important to choose one with high-quality ingredients that your body will actually absorb. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. Just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/boogie. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/boogie to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Here we go. Look at that. There's my little shaker. There's the little top. I know you can't see this, but here we go. All right, let's suck it down right here, live on air. Look, I did everything I need to do health-wise today. I drink my Athletic Greens, and so should you. athleticgreens.com/boogie.
I can't do it anymore. The kid murders, man.
Okay, I got one more for you. All right, no kids. Well, fortunately, that girl didn't die, so not technically.
Is it?
Here's some. I had no idea about these assholes. You ever heard of the Sunset Strip Killers?
No.
Talk about hitting close to home. My neighborhood.
Yeah.
Sunset Strip Killers was this couple. It was a male-female couple. This guy named Doug Clark, woman named Carol Bundy. They met at the Little Nashville Bar in North Hollywood. They were both kind of bar flies hanging out. They started dating. Apparently, one of Clark's habits was he liked to go out and pick up sex workers and other women and bring them home to Carol Bundy so they could have threesomes. And then they implied that most of the time the threesome turned into a twosome because he would lock Carol out of the bedroom. And apparently a lot of these early encounters were all consensual. Then eventually he told Bundy that he wanted to graduate from threesomes to necrophilia. So eventually
he
started
picking up.
There's
so much more before that.
Yeah, that's quite a jump.
I don't think that's the routing of.
It's a hell of a jump. So, yeah, long story short, he would pick up sex workers. And then she, Carol, would be sitting in the back seat. And then while dude's getting a beeger, either Carol and sometimes himself would shoot him in the head. And then he'd take him back to this rented garage in Burbank and explore his new hobby. And then this first set of gals he grabbed, he dumped them right on the on-ramp to the Ventura Freeway. What's that, the 134 right there? In Burbank. So this was interesting about this case, though. The gal, Carol Bundy, they were an odd couple to say the least, but like she was a weird gal. They described her as like being very friendly and very upbeat and positive. And I guess eventually the guilt got to her. So she called the police, and they have the audio of this, the actual phone call. It's pretty interesting. She just calls 911. It's like, hey, y'all still looking for the killer who killed the sex workers, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, and then the way she phrased it, she's like, well, I have a lot of knowledge about that case. Would you like to have your man today? Meaning, like, would you like if we, you know, if you found him today? And they're like, what?
Serve him up.
Like, yeah, she's going to serve him up. So she rolled over on him. That's how they finally caught up. Oh, but yeah, there's so many more details. He would decapitate some of them. He decapitated one poor gal. And then, like, a few days later, they put the head in a little, like, custom little wooden box and just dropped in an alleyway in Studio City. Some poor bastard.
Custom wooden box?
Well, like a little, like, treasure chest type box, like something handmade that, you know, an intricate little wooden box, not just some shoe box or something. And put her head in there and dropped in an alley. Of course, some poor bastard found that, called the police. But, yeah, man, just a couple of real fucking creeps. Yeah, I had no idea. Oh, but yeah, they call them Sunset Strip Killers because most of the victims were sex workers that they'd pick up right here on the Sunset Strip.
Yeah, it used to be what was the burger place that was there? That was the big one. It was it wasn't a hamburger. It's a Chipotle now, but it was some like famous burger stand.
Oh, really?
They were all at, yeah.
Hmm.
So you could always hung out there long enough, you'd always see some celebrity grabbing some to go.
Clark is still on death row. Bundy died of a heart attack in 03. One last one. I'd never heard of this dude either. The Freeway Killer, this asshole named Bill Bonin. This dude confessed to 21 murders, most of teenage boys. This was 78, 79. The weird thing about him is they believe, or I think they convicted several, but he had four different accomplices.
Not going to lie, I'm looking at cat videos right now.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to keep talking about this stuff. Four different accomplices. So, like, not all together. Like, he was always just two guys. That was kind of a running theme in this documentary, especially with this case and the Hillside Strangler and the Bundy, Sunset Killers, was it was weird that all three of these cases involved duos or teams working together, and which is apparently pretty rare because serial killing's kind of a solo venture usually. But yeah, this the Freeway Killer, 21 murders that he confessed to, four different accomplices. This is interesting too. On this episode, if you're watching the series, I think it's the second to last episode. I think it's episode 5 where they talk about this guy. He had one survivor. He had he'd picked up this like 15-year-old boy kind of near Long Beach. What's that little town just north of Long Beach? Westminster, I think. Picked up a 15-year-old boy. It was back when everybody was hitchhiking, so it wasn't a big deal. Everybody hitchhike, picked up a hitchhiker.
Man, I wish you could hitchhike again.
I would love to do that. That'd be great. But this this survivor, this is kind of sad. Katie was telling me about this, about certain people who experience extreme trauma. Like, for example, this guy he got raped by this freeway killer, and the guy let him go for some reason. He just let him go. But this poor kid, 15 years old, gets picked up, raped. The guy, they interviewed the survivor, this kid. He's now about 60. I did the math. I think he's 60 or 61. But my point is, apparently some people who experience extreme trauma, they are often kind of frozen in time at that age for the rest of their life in terms of not necessarily their mental development sometimes, but just what I'm trying to say is this 60-year-old man, I've never seen anything like it. He speaks like a 15-year-old. If you close your eyes, it sounds like a 15-year-old kid's talking. And and to put the voice to the face, like, he's a 60-year-old man. He looks like a 60-year-old man. But seriously, his voice, and I'm wondering if it's a case of that where he was just trapped, frozen in time in that trauma, and it manifests in his voice and body language or whatever. But it was really bizarre.
I'm 45, and I found a fart pedal on Reverb. It's only It's only 250. This one's only 250. It's version 2, so I wonder if they have a pitch and intonation.
Probably.
Figured out with it. So I didn't go through any trauma. I just want to talk about this fart pedal more than rape. 100% of the time that I'd rather talk about.
Feel good episode right here.
Well, you know, yeah. Lock it down.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so head on a swivel out there, folks.
I do listen and like watch those things.
Mm-hmm.
I just realized, oh man, it's like, I try to make the jokes about it and it's like, I don't feel good about myself.
No.
Like if they're going to make jokes about it and I don't feel good, or it should be researched well enough and give people information. I'm like, I don't, whatever. Mm-hmm. Ghouls and goblins and hairy ape men, UFOs.
I was reading this New York Post article, this author, one of the guys that kind of helped find the Golden State Killer, Paul Holes, it's an unfortunate name. He thinks that there's as many as 2,000 active serial killers in America alone right now going undetected.
That's what I'm like, how do you...
2,000?
And they're not getting the press anymore.
Mm-mm. He says a lot of these modern serial killers, they think, are targeting opioid users and heroin users, and because those kind of folks can kind of drop off the grid for a while and it not really ring any bells to their friends and family. And also they talk about how some of these overdoses could be the work of a serial killer. When you find someone who's strung out and, you know, doing what heroin users do, that they're it's easy pickings, and you can.
That's what I mean. Cowards? What cowards?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, all these fuckers!
I'm a murderer, but I go for the easiest targets. Mm-hmm. You fucking chicken shits.
Yeah. Yes, fucking freeway killers. Just all teenage boys. Just little kids, teenagers.
You cowards.
Yeah. That I was thinking about that when I was watching it, because when I was a kid, or, you know, you'd hear stuff like this, and, you know, we're all afraid of, like, you know, just killers and whomever, and, oh, it's so scary. And now, as an adult, I'm like, I wish I'd run into this motherfucker. I wish I could have hitched a ride.
Don't get me wrong. I still don't want to run into him.
I wouldn't mind it. All just little fucking...
But that's what I mean. There's no serial killers that, like, oh, man, a rash of... college football players have been murdered.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I realize I'm just announcing here, like, I dare you, serial killers, come and get me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, cowards. That was something.
Yeah.
All these killers.
Something to lift your spirits today, bud.
Yeah. Well, I got a bit on this fart pedal.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
So. All right, man. What you got? Where
are you at this weekend?
I'm excited. I'm Bloomington Comedy Attic.
Hell yeah.
One of the best clubs. Excited to be there.
Good times, buddy.
Yeah, what about you? What you got going on?
Nothing this week. A couple weeks, you could catch me and Ryan Singer, speaking of which, we're combining our stupid powers. And we'll be at Go Bananas in Cincinnati. When is that? 18th through the 21st of August. 23rd of August will be in Philly at Helium. 24th will be in Buffalo at Helium. And we're working on some other dates, but not holding my breath with some of this DIY booking. But we're trying to get out there. So, yeah, man.
Not holding my breath. Really selling it.
Yeah.
Not hold my breath on some of this booking. Yeah.
Fucking idiots that supposedly book shows came and return emails, but that's inside stuff for me to complain about on my own time.
Well, you deserve to get out there. Where are you doing a show tonight? I know it doesn't do anything for the listeners, but I like, where are you going local?
Pasadena. Little old lady.
Okay.
Pasadena. Taco stand, Mexican restaurant. I forgot the name of it.
Hey, man. But
yeah. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
The best fish taco show in. Oh, Los Feliz is one of the best shows in L.A.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. Get out there and sling these jokes.
Well, Let's get at it. We're doing burger night. I gotta go slice and chop some things.
Burger night, right on, buddy.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm having fake ones, but doesn't mean the fixins can't be good.
Mm-hmm. That's true. The bun, the cheese, the fixins.
Know, it's like hot dogs. You know, it's like, well, Chicago dog. It doesn't, like, that's one part of it. It's all the other stuff that makes it good too. So,
what kind of bun are you using?
I don't know. Rachel got all the stuff, so I don't know what's going on in there. I gotta go in there and find out.
Get you a good brioche.
I think it's I think it's potato buns.
Those are good. Those are good. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm gonna do that. I got a booster shot. Gonna wait to see if I feel like dog shit in a few hours. See what happens.
Oh, it kicked my ass almost to the minute. 12 hours after I got it. I got it at noon one day, and I felt great all day. And around midnight, just hit me like a ton of bricks. So.
12 hours. All right. Well, 4 in the morning is going to be a good time.
All right, buddy. Stay safe out there. Don't,
don't
get in anybody's van.
Yeah. I shouldn't have taunted all those serial killers like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah. Maybe you'll hear from us next week. Boogers.
Maybe I'll catch a serial killer trying to steal my catalytic converter. That'll be nice.
That's how you motivate it. And I think I think he's got a sock full of strangers' teeth.
He's also a thief. To murder is one thing, but don't steal car parts.
This guy's just got no class.
Mm-mm.
All right, buddy.
Be good.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.